They call it the spring of deception, Johnny, is what I've
heard.
It's
a false start.
Yeah, let's talk about that. On a last week, a frozen, frigid tundra day. Yeah. And this week, now we're all sneezing like crazy.
8, then 80, same week.
Yeah, like you and I called each other.
We had the COVID call.
Yeah, I was like, hey, how are you feeling? You're like, how are you feeling? I was like, yeah. I'm not feeling great.
I was being evasive, and I apologize. I think I wanted you to say, hey, I'm symptomatic.
So that you could blame me.
Yeah, so I could be like, you dirty,
you
rotten.
Ruined my... But I was going to be like, where do you think I got it? From you. You're the only guy I go see.
That's not true, John. You're out there running the roads. Pastoring people.
But it turns out it was just... Because my voice felt weak, but it turns out it was just allergies.
I had like a cough that I woke up with, and I thought, this is it. This is the dry COVID cough. And which is also a Russian figure skater. dry COVID cough.
Dry COVID cough.
But he used to wrestle Nikita Koloff back in Starcade, if you remember old school wrestling. It was Nikita and dry COVID cough.
Oh, man.
Okay, so I woke up with that, and I was like, this is it. And I hadn't really felt anything quite like it, so I thought, well, I'm going to have a fever next.
Yeah.
I got up, and the cough went away in like an hour, and then I rode my bike that day, like on the trail, and I never coughed again, and I didn't have a fever the rest of it. So I was like, I'm good. And then the next day, I was fine.
Yeah.
So it was just a false alarm. But
we did have a 40-degree swing that day.
We did, and that's probably what it was, and I have a lot of pet hair in my home.
Oh.
I'm getting.
You mean like hair that you keep as pets, or
right?
Do you mean
that's what we call them. Yeah,
like a pet rock.
It's a chia pet. We have rescues. You know this, right?
Right.
And people love patting themselves on the back. By the way, our dogs are rescues. I don't know if you bought from a breeder, but you're a monster. You bought from a puppy mill. I'm a good person. I saved a dog's life. But John, right. Honestly, if I'm real, my dogs rescued me. Because
wow.
Because we were starving and they're delicious. It's been a tough year with the COVID. No, we only ate the big one. No, my dogs are great and I love them more than anything. But every decision it feels like in our home is about the dogs and the dog hair. And the dog, like we have hardwood that we installed in our home because they were building our home when we bought it. They hadn't finished it. We were buying in a new neighborhood. Yeah. So they weren't finished. It was that time frame where they're done with all the decisions of structure,
right. But
you can get in and go, I want the walls to be this color if you bought then. And so we did. And so we said, hey, we want hardwood in all the downstairs rooms except for like where we can close a door.
Right.
I love carpet. I'm a carpet guy.
Yeah,
but you can't have carpet if you have inside dogs. It's just, it's a non-starter. And so we made this decision. Are you opening a brew over there? John's having the Milwaukee's best over there.
It's just a Coke Zero.
Whatever,
Milwaukee's
dude.
Best.
Well, here's to good friends. And then what the commercial was? Tonight's kind of special. I don't know. Round of fire. So all that said, that was like a $5,000 decision.
Yeah.
Like if we had just said whatever you put in standard carpet over the concrete slab, or the hardwood subfloor.
You don't know how houses work, I don't think.
Well, I'm saying it wasn't a slab. I just remembered it was a crawl space. I've never been in my crawl space, so it's hard for me to remember it's a crawl space house because I just don't go in there. Have you ever been in your crawl space?
Oh yeah.
Oh no, I hate it.
But you can kind of stand up in my crawl space.
That's what I'm saying. I'm 6'4".
I mean, don't stand up all the way. You hit your head, but you know.
I don't think I could stand up.
It's a.
You might be able to. Your stumpy self might be able to stand up in your crawl space, but my.
It's a hunch over space more than a crawl space.
Yeah.
So
there's bugs and stuff. I'm afraid. Yeah. So I've never been in. So it's hard for me. But anyway, all that said, those kind of decisions, you just go yes because you know I'm gonna have. I have to rent the carpet cleaner.
And you did this for dogs.
I did it for dogs.
Right. Yeah.
So all that said, now we've got the Roomba that does the hardwood and the surfaces, but it doesn't get the headboards and the shelving and the – there's a lot of dander.
Yeah.
So it could be that. There's a buildup is what I'm saying.
Well, we have
– You have children that you make your life decisions with.
We have
what I'm saying. It's different. You have a child and you go, hey, I got to protect – I got to plug in all the – You know, when you have a baby, you have to put all the outlet covers on and do all that. So I'm not trying to pretend like it's the same thing.
No, but we have dogs that greatly affect our lives way too much, and it bugs us too every day. Like right now,
it bugs me, but I'm not trying to get out of it.
No,
I just we're 100% getting a golden doodle when these dogs die.
You're just going to give up on rescuing.
I'm not trying to expedite their deaths, but we're not. Listen, you know when you get a car, and you get to a point with that car where you're not like ready to give up on it, but you're like, I ain't fixing anything.
I don't care what Dave Ramsey said. I want a payment.
No, you're like, I'm not fixing anything else on this car. I'll say that. Like you've not decided to go trade it in yet, but you said if something breaks, it's over. Like Toby, our lab pit mix, we rescued him. He was 2 or 3 by our best metrics that we could figure out. He tore
like a reading test.
Yeah,
the colors.
Yeah, right. He said everything's gray. We're like, you're hired. He tore his ACL or whatever, and it was a $2,500. It's a $50 dog, John.
And you paid $2,500.
Well, he was 3. If he was 11, like if he tore it now, I'd be like, dude, you're carrying that leg until you fall out. Like, that's not happening. So he tears the thing. So we fix it with what they call a tightrope surgery. They kind of simulate a ligament by
like the surgeon stands.
He does. They balance. They use Toby over their shoulder and they do a trapeze. No, they bore a hole in your upper and lower leg bones and stretch a piece of Kevlar rope between them, and it simulates the ligament that's been torn, basically.
Wow.
Because they can't fix a dog's ligament, because think about it, you can't keep a dog off of its leg long enough to heal.
Man, that'll preach.
You know? It's like why you have to shoot horses when they break their legs, because they won't stay off their legs.
Okay.
You have to just go, I have to kill you now. So
this is dark.
Where it's like, you know those people that say, like, a sprain is worse than a break? Not to horses. Horses are like, it's a sprain. I'll walk this off. Put down the gun. But so all that said, then the next, listen, this is true. He's 3. Then when he's 4, he starts carrying the leg again. We're like, no way. Surely this tightrope surgery's got a guarantee. It slipped or whatever.
Yeah.
It was the other leg.
Oh.
2 of them.
Wow.
We have a $5,050 dog. So
you've already paid way more than I ever did for
All that said, he knows now, like, we have a deal. Look, Toby, if you...
Nothing else better happen.
That's right. Your warranty is up, bro.
Right.
And so I'm ready to... I'm not ready to move on because I love my dogs, but
He's
I'm ready...
He's met his out-of-pocket max.
He has.
Right.
I'm ready for just a fluffy Fozzie Bear that doesn't shed, like what you have.
Yeah.
But not little. I don't want a purse dog. I want a big dog that I can wrestle with.
Okay, first of all, they're more like wallet dogs. They're little boys.
Yeah, they're little dogs.
And not purse.
Maybe I could. I need a dog that is something to them, because I want to squeeze them.
Listen, Ace will rip your face right off. He may be 12 pounds.
Of fury.
He's a lot of fun, actually.
But I'm sure.
He runs the yard like that. He owns the place, barking at the chickens and whatnot.
You have chickens in your yard?
There are chickens in our neighbor's yard behind us.
I thought you lived in a nice neighborhood, John. Is it just there's no rules? HOA?
I'm in the county.
Oh.
It is a nice neighborhood.
But these are not, chickens in the yard is I would think of more East Nashville, those kind of people, hipstery people.
Wow, those kinds of people, huh?
Why would there be free-range chickens in your yard?
They raise chickens right behind us. I mean, they have chickens in, they have five acres.
They do it for eggs. They want their own eggs?
Yeah, they have eggs. And
they try to sell you eggs?
They give us eggs sometimes.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. It's 5 acres, man. It's not like...
So my brother had the chickens with the eggs, and then he got out of it quick.
Which came first? Was it the...
My brother came first.
Right,
then the chickens. Then the decision that this was a horrible mistake. No, he tried. He got somebody gave him a coop, I think, or said, hey, if you can come pick this up, it's $80 or something. He went and got it. The chickens came with it, and then he was just constantly chicken poop is all over his property because they just run free and just poop everywhere.
Well, they have fence. They have some fence, chicken fence.
It's like the invisible fence. They just put a little band around the leg.
No. Chicken wire, some call it. But yeah.
But he decided, I think, for him that it wasn't worth the eggs. But he told me something about the eggs I did not know. Do you know you don't have to refrigerate the eggs until you wash them?
Yeah, that's true.
What is that? That doesn't even make any sense to me. So if you just keep a casing of dirt, it's like your car. The dirt is holding the integrity of the eggs in some way.
Yeah.
It's like ketchup. I don't understand ketchup. Refrigerate after opening.
Isn't it?
Does that not blow your mind? Why?
Doesn't it have to do with pasteurization?
But not with ketchup. You don't pasteurize ketchup, do you?
I think so.
Anyway, you're.
It's
but I'm
preserved.
Saying,
it's stealth stable. But it's shelf stable until. But then once it reaches air,
sealed. But it's sealed still.
Johnny's making so many motions with his hands right now. I wish you could
the
see
the cap. I'm pushing down. I'm pushing down on a cap.
It's like canning something.
Yeah.
Because it's sealed, so you can have a can. You don't have to.
Well, like my protein shakes that I get, I just had some ordered through Amazon because I can't ever find them at Kroger now. So Amazon, where it also steals hot dogs from people, but I ordered them and they don't have to be refrigerated at all, ever. Like I put them in the fridge because I want them to be cold when I drink them.
Yeah.
But you don't ever have to.
Wow.
And it's like, that lets you know this is not food you're putting in your body. It's like, you're drinking chemicals.
You don't do coffee, but mini moos.
Okay.
Which we have around the church, you know.
The little dairy, non-dairy cream.
Yeah, you don't have to refrigerate those. And it really bothers me. Now, I drink them, but it bothers me. Because every
once
in a while,
you'll, supposed to be milk, but
you'll get one and it's expired, and you're like, man, we should have refrigerated this.
Your hand's shaking as you pour it. Like, is this okay?
It's dairy. Sometimes you have to try to. I can't tell if one is like expired or if it's just sat too long. And so, like, I'm stirring it, and there's like these little floaty things in the coffee, and you're like, I can't, you know. But if you want it bad enough, you just
coffee
do it.
Shouldn't be chewy,
right? It's very
where I come from.
Yeah, you don't want to.
We come from the same place.
That's not a piece of candy in the bottom. You know what I'm saying?
No,
that's,
like the Yoo-hoo when you didn't shake it.
That's a curded. My wife will still. She hates Yoo-hoo. I told you I got Sadie a Yoo-hoo on a beach
trip.
Did it
stop recording?
No.
Okay, I thought it did.
I got Sadie a Yoo-hoo on a beach trip several years back.
What did she think?
She loved it.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's not, I wouldn't describe it as anything, it's got its own flavor. It's not like drinking chocolate milk. It's like a thinner version, sweeter.
Yeah.
It's not real. Like, it's one of those things you're eating, it's not like the Matrix. It's like you're going, this is good and I like it, and it's 100% just chemicals. This is like
right, my brain's telling
made this
me.
In a, yeah, they this, made this. Yes, right. Yeah. They made this in a lab.
Yeah,
it's like there's certain foods you just have to accept what you are by eating them. Like when I eat meatloaf, I'm like, I love meatloaf, and I'm white trash.
Listen, meatloaf, like, meatloaf man, is. I'm sorry, meatloaf's terrific.
It's
it
great.
Just is.
It's 100% great. The ketchup glaze, all of it.
All
and
of
it's,
it.
When you say ketchup glaze. You've entered into a world where
what? Okay,
this is not high, this
tomato
is not,
sauce glaze. You could just call it something different, Johnny.
You know,
a little bit of sugar.
What do they call it? You know, they. I'm watching The Sopranos. Going back and watch Sopranos on HBO, okay. And they keep saying gravy. Well, gravy is tomato sauce in Italian culture. I didn't know that. So they say, "I'll get the gravy," and that's what they put over the noodles.
Wow.
So gravy to them is a whole different thing than it is to Southerners.
Like marinara.
Marinara is gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like their word. Sounds less Italian than ours.
Somehow.
Right. Well,
but,
you know, the thing about the food, and it's funny you'd say that, because there is a food that I went off on this week, because I don't know if you know
You went
this.
Off on a food? You're like, son of
you
a...
piece
rutabagas!
Of...
if I ever...
I went off to my wife about it, because it really bothers me. It reinforces every single part of American stereotypical negative culture.
Yeah.
Okay, American cheese.
Yeah.
You realize it's just like another form of Velveeta. It's just made different. American cheese. So if I say Gruyere, then I know it's a French cheese or Italian. Sorry, honey, if you're listening.
Oh, man, you've already blown
really
it.
Butcher this. Or mozzarella. Like, I know it comes from a certain kind of milk and, you know, goat cheese. You have all these cheeses. If you say American cheese, it's processed.
Yeah.
Just like,
even, if you look at the package, it won't even say cheese. It'll say cheese food.
Well, that's what Velveeta says.
No, like singles.
American too?
Like Kraft singles.
So you were telling me there's nothing cheese about
there's
American cheese.
Like if you buy Kraft cheese that's just cheese slices, it's a different texture. But if you buy like singles, Kraft singles, that says American cheese food. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like when you see chocolatey on your cereal, like chocolatey coated.
Right.
Flakes. You're like, well, that's not chocolate.
Right. Or you get the fruit flavored and it says does not actually contain fruit juice. It looks like a grapefruit flavor. And you're like, it bugs me. I'm like, I've always liked American cheese. And now I'm like, I wish it was real cheese. This whole I thought, yes, this is how we make cheese, but we make it in a factory. I don't even know if we use real milk or I don't know, guys. It bugs me.
It doesn't bug me because I like the taste of American cheese, and so I'm just okay with it being garbage.
And that
I am garbage.
We
for
are
it.
We eat a lot of garbage, Johnny.
We do.
And
I'm trying to. I eat less garbage now. But
not me. Listen, I do.
I still eat garbage, but I eat less of the garbage.
When the snow week happened,
it
was like the holidays returned.
Yeah. Well, COVID was that for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I did that the first 6 months.
Because it was like the long nuclear winter of being in your attic, and like you got to the end of Netflix somehow. You're like, we've reached the end of Netflix, and all your snacks are gone.
Yeah. And all hope was gone. Like you reach like this. I did pretty well the first like 6 months, and then it started in the fall. The wheels started coming off.
Yeah.
And so, but we went on this trip to Louisville for this distance volleyball tournament.
Why do you gotta say that?
Because I want everybody to know it's not just you. There's millions of people listening.
Kids are playing sports. It's not like you're they have being to wear masks. Reckless during the game.
Some teams do. Ours don't. But you have to wear them on the sidelines. Then you get in the game.
That doesn't make any sense to me at all. You're out there sweating with other people on them, near them.
The sweating doesn't.
Now I gotta go sit. I'm saying you're breathing close to them, and then I'll go sit and pretend. I'll pretend the science matters now. Like either the masks work or they don't.
Take the chance though that. You're only because it's a volleyball. You're not breathing on the other team. They're on the other side of the
court.
But
it's surfaces. It's the whole thing.
It's your
either
own,
the surfaces
no,
matter or they
dude,
don't.
They're cleaning the surfaces the whole time.
You're not cleaning the volleyball every point, though.
It doesn't. Listen, the odds are, statistically, from what I have read, that someone breathes on
I just told you that it didn't matter to me, and now I'm showing you why you're being very reckless. Do you see how I can play both sides of something? I'm almost like a volleyball player.
The odds of like someone who is infected breathing on a volleyball.
No, touching,
hitting
into
the other side.
Didn't we used to wipe down all our groceries and touch?
But the whole surface thing, that kind of went away. It's not nearly as infectious as
did it go away, or did we just realize that we were wrong about it?
I would like to speak to
this. Are we going
to
realize that we were wrong about masks, too?
I would like to speak to this for a second.
Okay.
I think that this has to do, and I'm sorry, this is a thing for me. This is a thing. Like, this is about, and I want you to let me finish before you freak out on me, okay? I believe that there is an element, and I'm not being mean, of complete American entitlement to the way that we have viewed how things work during the pandemic. And here is the reason why. We assume that everything that happens immediately, this is our faith in science, that whoever they are, quote unquote, the professors, the scientists, the viral people.
Virologists.
Thank you. We assume.
Epidemiologists,
that they're supposed to know everything about a brand new thing that just surfaced. And people from the beginning have been so like, well, maybe this is not true. And then they freak out about it. And it's like, I don't know, guys.
It's
a global pandemic. Give them a minute.
I'm saying that in the beginning, they thought surfaces was everything. People were freaking out and leaving their groceries outside. Now they don't. So what if we find out that people are afraid to like freak out about now I'm going to have to wear two masks and all that because they're like, what if we find out down the road that it wasn't even helping anyway?
But they've already proved masks. Well, that's the point. When they had enough time, enough data, they've proven what masks do.
But I'm saying in a sport, I can give you that. But in a sports context, I don't understand. I watch the NBA. I'm a huge NBA guy.
Yeah.
The NBA games happen like this. Teams fly to the other city now because there's not a bubble this year. And they go, they sweat all over each other. It's a very close contact sport. When they go to the bench, they are required to sit 6 feet from the nearest player to them. And they put on their mask, and they have to keep their mask on. It makes zero sense. When they go to embrace the other players after the game, there are now security guards that come and break up that embrace.
After they've been playing right
after
next
you've
to
been
them.
Guarding the guy all game.
No, that
it makes
that
you look like you don't care about the science because you're now being ridiculous.
Okay, that I can buy.
Okay,
that one,
that's all I'm saying.
That one scenario. But the idea that because they figured out that the surface transfer was not as big of a deal as the aerolized transfer.
Once we sold 50 million Clorox wipes, by the way.
Okay, my gosh, you're such
Clorox
a conspiracy.
Clorox is behind this, bro.
But the idea that suddenly means we can't trust any of the science. It's like
I'm not saying we can't
science
trust
evolves.
What if I'm just saying I don't trust you?
Well, that might be. That's probably
that
a good
a
idea.
Thing.
I mean, it keeps evolving. But here's the thing. I will say this about masks. If someone's like, well, we don't know. If nothing stops everything except complete isolation. It just diminishes. Again, this is why, like I've said 100 times, and you're going to laugh. If you have a surgeon, he wears a mask since like 1901. Like, just because you don't
That's
want
an him. Old surgeon. I don't want him cutting on me, bro. He's shaky.
He was a surgeon in 1901. Anyway, it's like, yes, it just diminishes. Could you still get it with a mask?
Yes,
sure.
I get it. I wear the mask, John. I'm not
Johnny,
fighting the mask.
Johnny, put your mask on.
I'm not fighting you.
Okay.
I am traveling this weekend, though, so I'm definitely have the mask on. I'm okay with if they keep masks on in planes in perpetuity.
Really?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
But your plane's your safest place. That's where the recycling.
Yeah, but
and
it's just like there's been sick people on planes giving me flu probably for ages
years.
Anyway. I just didn't know it. Now it's like it's a little bit more of a.
Do you know what I had installed in my house?
I don't know.
It's called
the Vaccinator 5000.
It's called it's an ionization machine.
Oh boy, is this a ad? Is this a paid ad?
No. Well, my brother is an engineer, you know, and so he told me that he installed this in his house, and he does. They build huge commercial buildings. It's every commercial building now that we build, we're installing these.
It electrifies the air and kills all the things.
It basically neutralizes like either the.
But it uses like positive ionization charge.
Yeah, it's an ionization.
It basically electrifies the air.
No,
it kills things.
The stuff that comes through the unit, what it does is it like neutralizes.
But
like,
how is it neutralizing? It's using an electric charge of some kind, right?
It's ionization.
But that's what it is. Isn't that what ionization is?
It basically like renders one of the molecules.
Okay.
Either there's a positive and a negative. It renders one of them.
But how does it render?
I don't know.
It's not a filter, though. It's not like you have to change a filter.
It's not electrifying the air.
I
don't think that that's possible.
Because listen. I think it is.
I think it's releasing is releasing some sort of ion.
Mm-hmm. In the form of an electric charge. Hold on, I'm going to look it up.
Captain Planet?
How is Bill Gates using this to track me?
Well, but the idea, though, is it doesn't just kill. Although we've been sneezing more since we put it in, so I'm not game yet. But my brother said he stopped sneezing. So it's not just like COVID. It does kill COVID. They have all this data. But it kills, like, allergens and stuff, too. Johnny, you should put it in there with all the dander and stuff.
You think it would just... I wouldn't have to dust?
You might... Well, the dust wouldn't bother you as bad as it neutralizes the... It's supposed to, like... But, again, they're putting
I would still have a hair all over my shirt, but it wouldn't bother me as much.
Right, right.
The dander would be...
You would look socially unacceptable, but...
Yes. I would look like it was an Angora sweater, but it wasn't,
Dude, you do want a dog that... Listen, get... What kind are you getting again?
Probably a doodle, some kind of a doodle.
Do it, man. You want a dog that doesn't shed, and poodles are so smart. I mean, they're so... I'm not saying Toby's not smart.
My niece has a doodle.
He's torn two ACLs now.
Well,
it's time.
I mean, and now his front legs are getting, like, arthritic.
Like, if he wants to get into free agency...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's hurting us. We've already got him on the franchise tag. This is his big payday year, but next year, free agency, and we'll see what happens.
He paid so much, and he has not delivered on the court.
He doesn't do much of anything. He's a cute dog. He's a sweet dog. But come on. Dogs are a lot. I think if you're not a dog person, it's almost like not being a kid person. Because my wife and I didn't have kids. And so it's like people think of you as being a certain type of person. If you go, well, the kids aren't for us or whatever. But also I have very little tolerance for people who just like, really don't like dogs. They're uncomfortable with dogs. Not like scared of dogs, because you might have had a bad experience.
Right.
But if you're just like, ooh, dogs, no thanks, and they won't even come to your house or whatever, like then I'm like, ooh. So I think maybe that's what people think about me because I don't have kids. Like, I love kids, but it's not like, I put out an energy of like...
I don't think you put out a negative vibe about kids.
All right, good. I hope not. Because I really do love
kids.
It
sounds like you have a negative vibe about kids. You just don't
I'm trying to hide it.
Right.
And so I figured this was the best forum to let it...
If you're going
to
stay under the radar, this was the way to go.
Yeah.
What was the reason that I was talking about going to Louisville?
Oh, for your volleyball. And I said, great, great job. You're not putting your kid at risk at all.
Yeah, but what was the...
Or other children.
When we were on a train that got derailed.
There's no way. You can always find the rabbit trail back. You're John Driver. You speak for a living.
There was a reason I was saying it. For some reason, it was going to lead to something.
Was it about dogs?
I can't think of a something that would connect.
Well, tell me this. How was the tournament?
It was good. They came in third.
Out of
four, no. No, they made gold bracket. They won all their games the first day.
Gold bracket.
So that's the thing. There were 14 teams in their particular, in their 13 elites from all over, and they won all their games except one the first day. They lost to who would be the eventual champion. And then the next day they lost to the second place team. So they were one game out of the championship. They're always one game right now. They always meet the best team. The game before the championship seems like it happens a lot.
Always a bridesmaid.
Yeah. And so then, you know, that team was really good. But Sadie played really well, had some killer hits, but she's painting. She's lefty. So you would love that because you're a lefty. And she plays front right because then she could hit left-handed to that back left corner.
Yeah.
And so you don't have a lot of kids that age who are doing that. So
she was, I mean, the game I came to, she was nailing it.
Yeah. She's got.
She had like 10 in a row to win the game.
Yeah. All her serves. Yeah.
That was when I
dropped your phone.
Dropped
right
my phone right in the middle of the penultimate point.
You're like, all she has to do is get one more, and there'll be time.
Clank! Here's my dumb device on a metal bleacher. I'm sorry.
Now she still made the
That would have been like a childhood forming moment. It was like a slow-mo of it falling. It was bad.
And that was the moment that Sadie did not become professional.
Always
all
a bridesmaid.
Because of Uncle Johnny.
You know, I had a friend who we used to say was always a bridesmaid, but it was just because she had a lot of really ugly dresses. What is it about that? The bride has to be the glowing...
So you get
the fuchsia magenta dresses for your friends and be like, wear this, you hags. And then you get
you
to look
show
better.
Show me up. I don't know if that's just stereotypical thinking, but I feel like I've had women tell me that that's kind of true for some brides, not for all, but that some.
It's true even if you don't. Now, some brides go, they don't care, but it's true. The tradition holds even if you don't feel that way, you still notice that it's a thing. You don't think, well, this must be a bridezilla. Look how ugly those bridesmaid dresses are. But it's just a thing that happens. And I don't know. I wonder if it culturally has roots in something real, or if it's just like they're the only color. Maybe you go, well, we're going to add some color because he's wearing a black suit, she's wearing a white dress, we need some color. And then they just say, what about fuchsia? And then it just took off, but there's still some ugly dresses. Bridesmaid dresses are usually pretty bad.
Well, I mean, I've done a lot of weddings where they've been nice. I mean, they've...
But not anything you would ever wear again.
I mean, the big thing for the guys I've learned in the last several years...
I know dresses, John. Let me tell you something. I'm a fashion mogul.
I've heard a lot of guys complain. This is where we've come in society, that the groom makes them buy this $200 suit they're going to wear one time.
It is a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, you rent it. It's
well, no, so a lot of them are buying them now.
Oh, well, not me. Almost... You must know some higher upper crust people. When somebody asked me to be in their wedding, especially when I was like really struggling and just like part-time comedy, part-time working at the church, somebody go, hey, you want to be in the wedding? I'd be like, oh. And you just kind of like, oh, man. Especially if it was just like, hey, we just want you to be an usher.
Oh,
like, you just cost me $200. Can I just come to the thing and bring you a toaster?
When you get to go to a rehearsal dinner, but then you're going to offset that cost with the present you're going to
buy. Well, that makes it sound like I only care about the thing. Obviously, it's an honor, you know, to be in somebody's
wedding.
No, nice
wedding. Safe, nice safe.
But it's just a, I don't want anybody that I've been in their wedding. Like, that's what he was thinking this whole
listening
time.
Right now.
Yeah, they're all thinking. No, the only thing I did get a little bit wary of, not wary, but just like, I'm not totally comfortable is I had... When I started comedy, there were a couple people that were in our youth group and in my college group. They would be like, will you do stand-up at a reception? And I did it for a couple people. And then after a while, I was like, this is going to run out. Like, I'm not going to be able to keep doing
this. Especially all the same people are coming to this.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's a stress. If you get through it once, you're like, it feels like you got through a war. Because if you bomb at a wedding, they remember forever. There's video of it.
Yeah.
But so I was like, please. So I remember the last, I had a student get, one of our college group kids got married in his 20s, and they said, and I could tell they were getting ready to ask me. And I said, before you ask me this, I will give you the biggest wedding gift if you don't ask me to do stand-up at the wedding. And I did. Yeah. I think I gave him $1,000.
Wow.
To not do stand-up at their wedding.
How many people right now are like, hey, Johnny, will you do?
Will you not do stand-up at my wedding?
Weddings are still the thing.
Yeah.
That I get most.
And it wasn't that I didn't want to do it. I don't want to sound like that.
No, but
like
I
that.
Get it, though, what you said.
It's just the stress of, like, you don't
so
want to let
stressful.
Them down.
Weddings
it's not like
me,
an open mic. Yeah. It's not a good forum for comedy, usually. The one I did it at, I did it at two different ones. I did the little thank you note thing bit at Seth's and McKenna's wedding. And that was a lot of fun because I got to write in that format of, like, the Jimmy Fallon thank you notes.
Right.
And they had some ideas, and I just helped punch them up. And then I did at Dane Allen's reception. Yeah. Who used to do the podcast with us, Dane, and he's great. And that was the first one I did. And I was like, sure, I'll do it. And I just came up with a bunch of like off the fly stuff that I wrote the day of. And it landed. And so I thought, I got to get out. You want to get out while the getting is good, you know? You quit while you're ahead, kind of a thing. But when you do good, people go, oh, well, he did it here. He could do it at any wedding.
See,
it's like,
imagine,
that's not.
I can't imagine the pressure. Weddings.
Even
me,
singing at a wedding is.
Oh, singing.
Because you know, like you hit a bad note.
Worst.
Yeah, you hit a bad note. It's. That's their day.
Have you and I sang I'll Be Here Together at somebody's wedding?
We've sang it a couple. We did another song. It's Stephen Curtis Chapman's song. It's lesser known called I Will Go There With You. Yeah.
Yeah. Did we play two guitars or I play piano?
It's almost like a conversation. I will be here. I will go there with you. And then another song, the follow-up, we went. Like, what? But yeah, you played piano maybe, or we both played guitar?
I mean, I'm telling you.
I think there might have been a track.
Oh, no. No, there wasn't a track. We wouldn't have done that.
I think it might have had a track, John. Because it's a big, there's violins and instrumentation in that song.
Man, I hate singing at weddings. Just, I'm not a good singer is the main reason.
John, you're
but you can get away
singer.
With stuff when you're a worship leader. It's like, look, it's not about my performance. But at a wedding, it's about your performance.
Yeah, it kind of is.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I
think it'd be a lot more pressure in Nashville, too. Like, most of the way we did, we lived in Knoxville at the time. Yeah. And it's like, Knoxville, it's different. Nashville, it's like everybody knows a recording
right.
artist.
Like, we could have got Ricky Skaggs
exactly.
as this Joker. Right. And, guys, if you have to ask me or Ricky Skaggs to sing at your wedding,
go with Skaggs.
Go with Skaggs every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I even though, and I don't get nervous speaking, but I get nervous doing weddings. That's the one thing, weddings and funerals both, but weddings more.
Yeah.
Weddings, I manuscript every word.
Okay.
I don't, there's not.
Yeah, you have the big book.
Yep. I don't ad lib one thing. I don't preach that way, but I learned early on, like, I need to be able to say exactly, because I'm always terrified of saying the wrong name. That's one thing. Like, you've seen.
As the groom is.
One too many episodes of Friends to know this could ruin someone's life, you know. And then I think the other thing is, I've seen a lot of preachers really screw up weddings.
Yeah.
When they ad lib. I've seen preachers talk about someone's ex-boyfriends or girlfriends.
Oh, yeah.
And at the sacred altar of matrimony, they're like making jokes about this kid's
ex-girlfriend. I never thought he'd get over Jennifer, but you did it, Sally.
Yep, I've heard it. I've seen that exact thing happen.
And then her face just sinks. And you're like, oh boy,
gosh.
That's over.
Or someone make, you know.
Take my shrimp cocktail to go.
Like, look, you don't make sex jokes at the altar.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that before,
too. Oh, my
too.
Gosh, what are you doing? Everybody's family, parents, like, you don't do, like, this
right.
is a, no.
That's for the reception.
So if you're going to try to be funny,
wait.
It needs to be, like, here's the thing. I always tell the bride and the groom when we're doing the counseling, like, look, I will say some personal things.
Yeah.
If I know them, you know, real well. And here's the thing. I will be perfectly willing to make the groom look bad, but I can promise you one thing. I will just say nothing but uplifting things for the bride.
Yeah.
And even the groom, it'll be charming. Like, but I'm not going to try to shame him or something. But, you know, it'll be kind of a, hey, you know, I knew this
kid.
Yeah,
like a slug in the arm kind of a comment.
But,
yeah.
But I'm not going to take any shots at the bride. Like, that's, it's just, I don't know. To me, think of the pressure she has to be under.
To me, that is you caving to gender norms. If you want ladies, if you want equality, you should be able to take a shot at the wedding.
Maybe.
Just like a guy.
Maybe. I'll let someone else give that shot.
Everybody wants equality till the check comes, John.
So you're saying for me to take down
kidding.
The patriarchy,
yeah.
I have to start making fun of brides.
Yes.
Okay. I get you. So, because I want to know where chivalry fits in with that. Because chivalry for me is still like, I don't know. I think I just want to be.
Chivalry, is the chivalry, like people love chivalry, but it goes hand in hand with patriarchy in a way because it kind of says like, you be the damsel in distress, I'll be your savior or whatever. I'll open the door. You should never have to open a door. And after a while, they're like, hey, open those doors for you. You know,
right.
It's like there's like a weird built-in like code that comes along with all that. So I don't know. We're going to unravel it here today on Talk About That.
What you want to hear is two white dudes talking about this.
Absolutely. We're going to figure it out. No, right. I do think that there's roots to this stuff, though, and we do it without thinking, and then you go, oh, what does this mean for the other person, though?
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for asking what someone's comfortable with, you know?
But we both know that for as many people out there that are like, they want to be strong, independent, don't you dare try to open a door for me. There are a lot of women who like being taken care of. They like being... You know, they love chivalry. They like getting flowers. They like getting, you know, I like getting flowers. Give me flowers.
Well, I'm not trying to, like, when I open the car door for my wife on a date, it's not because I think she can't.
Yeah.
Or I think she's weak. Or I think she needs my protection.
Yeah.
It's because I'm honoring her above myself. You're going to come. You're going to get out of the car, into the car first, and I'm going to walk around. I'm going to be the last one. So I think
But what if she were wanting to, like, lay her life down and honor you? Could she ever open your door? That would be the weirdest thing that you ever saw. If you came to church one day and saw the woman get out of her side and go open the door for the man, your jaw would hit the floor. That's what I'm saying is, like, these norms are not normal. They're just norms.
But truthfully, I'm not saying this just because it's going to sound good.
Oh, boy.
My wife already puts me first in every other thing of our entire lives. Like she is, and as an Enneagram too, she's even made that way. But this is not because of our gender roles.
I know that.
Like
John,
I could not begin with some display of chivalry to begin to like I tell her all the time, like there's no balancing here. So I have this desire to want to do things to serve because she serves us all so well in 100 different ways. So I don't know. I think that's the key. Forget about the gender roles. I think the key to marriage, and everyone uses all the scriptures about submission, husband to wife, wife to husband. They take it so out of context in so many ways, in my opinion, because, and I think we've talked about this before, but if you really break down just number count, excuse me, word count of the things that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 to husbands and wives, which is where we freak out about wives submit to your husbands, and some guys especially really kind of hone in, and actually some women hone in on that too. Like, there's a lot of that. And as a the way, if you really listen to what then Paul says the guy is supposed to do, that the husband's supposed to do, just word count wise, it's like triple the amount what the wife is supposed to do. And it is like so much more. Like, if you really take it, listen, it's, and I think submission, by the way, the best definition I've ever heard is taking the divinely ordered place in a relationship. Certainly there's a service, a servitude to both sides, because it also says submit yourselves one to another.
Yeah.
And so, but this idea though of husbands love your wives, and my wife always say that if someone gets on the submission train, she's like, look, great, let me ask you a question. Does your husband love you like Jesus loves the church? Like,
right, if he did, then you're not going to worry about
it. Is that his goal?
Yeah, you're not. The roles don't matter if you're really submitting one to another anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus serves me so much more than I serve him. I mean, that's the reality of this.
Yeah.
I don't breathe without him. He's thinking of me before I ever wake up. He's singing songs over me. There's so much to that, that if I was going to treat my wife like Jesus treats me, then I don't think we would have any sort of – it's not a submission thing. It just means I serve more. That's what it's supposed to be. Yeah. I'm supposed to serve
submission
more.
Submission train is going to be my nickname if I'm a UFC fighter. You're going to be tapping out because you're on the submission train now.
Tonight, submission train versus COVID cough.
That's right.
It's a war on the shore.
Ivan COVID cough.
Oh, my goodness. I was happy not to have COVID. That was
it's a relief. It's like, you go, all right, I survived. Because if I can get through, I didn't get sick at all last year, like not a sinus infection, not a cold.
Neither. Me neither.
And it's never happened in my life. Uh-uh. So, like, I'd get bronchitis twice a year since I'm a kid.
Right.
I missed 30 days of school a year when I was a kid with asthma stuff and bronchitis. So I just have a history of illness. So I just thought this will be, I'll get the COVID. Hopefully it won't be a major, and I didn't get it. And now it's like the tail end. Cases are dropping. Now if I get it, it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're like
I don't want to get to the end of this and then get it.
It's like All Quiet on the Western Front. The guy dies like the day the war ends. You know, kind of thing. So
I didn't
not
that
you're going to die. I mean, like that.
Wow.
Sorry, I didn't mean to give it away too in the book if you hadn't read it.
No, I haven't.
It's World War One. You should. It shouldn't be a spoiler anymore. But anyway,
it's a classic, Johnny. Maybe you should broaden your horizons and watch less Netflix, you goof.
I don't mean like dying. I mean though, like if you got it, you'd be. Oh man, I was this close to the. Because we're going to be fine if we get it, Johnny. Everything's going to be fine.
Okay.
I mean, I trust the Lord. So, I don't want to get it, though.
No.
I would like to not get it. That would be ideal.
I'm going to get on a plane, and so that'll be, that makes it weird. But, yeah, I'm traveling to Milwaukee, and then I'm traveling from Milwaukee to Myrtle Beach because my agent doesn't own a Globe.
I'm assuming that's another flight.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm doing shows.
I'm getting off in Milwaukee.
And then I'm going
to renting a car.
Hanging around there. No. I got shows in like Chicago area and then Green Bay. So Milwaukee's kind of the halfway between the two.
Yeah.
So I'm doing those two shows. And then on Sunday, I'll fly to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Hey, listen, man, I would let your agent book whatever.
That's why I would say that used to be the, like, there's no routing at this point. You just say yes. And then you ask how much money.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm coming. And then you find out later, it was for $12 and a piece of pizza.
Hey, that's Scarlet Thread pay right there.
That is. That's good. That's a raise for us.
Oh, my goodness.
Those were the days, John.
Hey, they were good days, you know?
Yeah, I had a little moment yesterday. I almost sent you a video. I posted it on my Facebook, but you don't ever on Facebook anymore, are you?
No, I'm not.
I was on there because I was just looking at a video, and then a shared video. And it goes, also, you may like this video. It was a Ben Rector video. You know Ben Rector.
Mm-hmm.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
Local artist. But he has a song called... Old Friends, and this song's been out for whatever, how many ever years, 3 or 4 years. It was on his last record, but he did a version of it during COVID where he went to a garage of, it might have been his garage, but he had his old band that he wrote that the song was basically about, his high school band. They all got back together.
Wow.
And so they played that song together, and they've shot a video of it. And so it starts out, this the front of the garage, and he's in the driveway, and they're standing waiting on him. And then he goes in, they've all taken their instruments, and he gets in front of the piano, and then it starts to slowly zoom in. And then as the song lyrics start happening, if you don't know anything about the song, it'll talk about so-and-so got in this many fights, and I remember the numbers to this person's house by memory. And then it slowly shows the phone number. So it's got all these little touches. And it just made me, like, misty-eyed thinking of our band, you know, like – and because it is that connection, but it was kind of a cool concept for a video because it's very like low cost way to do it. But it was just kind of a cool way to do a video. Anyway.
Yeah, I found an old – I had to go through some things. I found our first record, like the – I think the Soup record.
Oh.
Yeah, with the 11th hour pasta letters floating in the tomato soup.
Oh, jeez Louise.
Yeah. That was a bad album.
Yeah.
That was bad.
We weren't very good.
Actually.
We got better. But
we got better, and the producer was horrible. Like, in retrospect, we should have been like, oh.
Do you want to say this?
I don't remember. I don't want to. No, I know, you love calling out the producers, but.
Well, they deserve it. They should have behaved better.
Yeah, but it's okay.
That's the old, I don't know who said that, Anne Lamott, maybe? She talked about when she writes her books.
Yeah.
She's like, if people don't want to be talked bad about in my books, they should have behaved better.
There's a truth to it. Did I tell you that my entire back looks like someone hit it with a baseball bat?
You did. You said you fell like an old man.
So I had like this snow.
This is the All Quiet on the Western Front because the ice was over.
Yeah, it was over.
The
snow
was melting.
See, that's the key.
There's a layer
we had
underneath.
This ice first. Then we had all the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been walking across that snow drift, taking my dogs down and stuff. And so one night I go out and not realizing that the snow had melted and the ice remained.
Won't that
bridge?
Come on,
guys. Come on.
Some of you in your lives.
And I went down like a sack of dirt. And I went right into this huge, these two huge planters, rounded planters. And I just, my back, the edge of the planter just went, I mean, straight down. And I held Brutus in one hand. And didn't hurt him.
Did it like break any ribs or bruise any?
I thought maybe kidneys? At first I thought I may have broken a rib or bruised a kidney, and I haven't had any. It just is a big purple nasty thing. But I feel. But I can't run, and this is the perfect weather.
Oh yeah.
Like if I try to jog in place a little bit, it hurts so bad because I have a lot of I don't know residual energy. What did you call it? Your jiggle rate?
No, jiggle rate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been on the bike trail. It's been beautiful, but yeah, like you said, it's a false start. So now it's going to be awful. Normally, when it gets warm. Unseasonably warm in February in Nashville, it means tornado sirens are coming.
Yeah.
Because it's just the weird fronts and all the things. I don't know the jets. I don't know how it all works, but I just know that when it's 70 degrees in February, get to your cellar usually.
Yeah. I wish someone out there as a listener would donate to me a Generac system for my house.
That you've got an ionization machine.
Yeah.
Already.
But I can't.
That electrifies the air in some way that you're denying the science of. You're wearing 8 masks right now as we do this podcast. Now you want.
I've lost electricity so
you've
much.
You've got a heated pool.
I don't have a heated
pool. Stop it.
My goodness. My pool's not heated.
It doesn't have a heater.
My pool's only 4.5 feet deep.
Why even have it? What kind of a loser?
I didn't build it. It was there when I bought the house. So, hey, you know the bushes around the pool? They're gone.
You did it.
Thanks to Seth Warden. I'll know if he listened or not.
No more leaves. Thanks
no more leaves. I couldn't
get motivated.
Yeah, and so we.
Or
have
as I like to say, raking care of business. I begged him to use that.
Didn't you come with Get Motivated too?
No, that was him.
Oh, okay,
raking care of business was mine. There was another couple that I did, but he just didn't, and they never caught on. And it's a bummer.
And now his business suffers because of
it. During the snow. It was plowing night and day.
Well, my goodness, it was the biggest snow we've had in what?
So you go out, you get the equipment. He told me like you rent the equipment, and then you have to like pay your guys, and then whatever comes out of that. But you're making deals with the apartment complexes and the water because they don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
So they're all like, hey, we're getting ready to open our business, but we have to clear this parking lot or people are going to slip and fall and then they're going to own Food City or whatever. Again, it's not like I'm saying he's an opportunistic whatever. It's good. It's good that he was there to provide a service.
Yeah.
It's chivalrous, you might say.
I'm sure glad I didn't say anything about him.
Oh, jeez.
Except that I love you, Seth, and... I don't care what you do.
This money's changed him, don't you think?
Oh, man. Well, guys, hey, thanks for hanging out with us for a few minutes today. We had hit so many heavy issues for so long.
Yeah.
And I think we're all recovering a little bit. We want to recover.
People are a little gun shy. If they think you're getting heavy, I wonder if people fast forward.
I don't know.
Is there any way to extract any metrics on how long people listen and for what? I think you can do that sometimes. Well, they fast forwarded through the...
You know, you have access to all these things.
No,
as well.
I don't know. Listen, John, I'm here. I show up and I make the show pop. That's what I do.
Well, and listener, we think that you've made the show pop today because what is a show without listeners?
It's
just me and Johnny talking into the ether.
It's a podcast. Yeah. That's what it is.
It's our podcast in particular. Hey, but head on over to our website.
It's talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Yeah.
You can find out. It's all of our archive shows linked, over 150 episodes. And you can go to our Patreon, learn how you can help contribute to the show, help us make more great content like this, or even better. Maybe it'll get even better. With your help, we vow to get even better, if that's possible.
If it's possible. Yeah. Remind you guys, too, we got a regeneration recovery program that's going to be virtual that anybody can be a part of. So if you want to go over to churchatpleasantgrove.com and go to regeneration or recovery, that tab, you can sign up. That's coming up in early March. If you wherever you are in the country, you could be a part of that, or in the world, because we're going to be having that virtual. So that's a great opportunity if you're interested in a 12-step program that I just came through. It's really great. So other than that, man, make sure you keep looking out. If you have not gone yet and watch Johnny's Dry Bar special.
Oh, yeah, my Dry Bar special on the app. And I think it may be on their website, too. I know it's on VidAngel's website. It's on their, like, front page.
Yeah.
So VidAngel's a website where they kind of like take the foul language and whatever filters you want to take out of your popular shows. And my comedy special is on there since it's one of their products, Dry Bar special. So go to VidAngel.com. You can go to Dry Bar app on the app store and watch the whole special for free.
Sweet. Yeah. Go watch it. And,
share it.
Share it, man. It makes a difference. So, hey, you make a difference for us, guys. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
In a recent survey, parents reported that 52% of homeschooled children need learning accommodations. These parents need practical advice, encouragement, and hope to fuel their homeschooling efforts. The Empowering Homeschool Conversations podcast is where parents gain wisdom on how to teach unique learners successfully at home, like Laura, who recently told us, "I needed this episode. I don't need a fancy curriculum or need to be a special ed teacher to teach my son. You have given me hope." To listen now, go to Life Audio or search Empowering Homeschool Conversations on your favorite podcast app.